Because today's scripture that we are looking at today is Psalm 20, and it is a pre-battle psalm. It's a pre-battle blessing, to be most exact. And it was sung by troops, probably originally, so I'm going to hold on to this, before a battle. And it was, like the video clip, a powerful reminder that our words have power, that our words are powerful, and that they actually have the power to impact what happens around us, to turn an army that's afraid and ready to run around and to fight, to ignite this sense of unity, of passion, of vision. And when we use our words to speak life and to speak truth, we call that a blessing. So Psalm 20 is a blessing psalm. Now, cultures all over the world, different religions, different cultures, have some form of blessing because they've acknowledged that words have power. And there's something about words spoken that are life-giving and that are true that really do seem to have the power to impact what's going on around us. Now, in our culture, we often think of blessing as kind of like a nice wish or intention, like, bless your heart, or, you know, just bless you, or I hope. We often use the words I hope or may. Those are good indications that we're speaking of blessing. May you have peace. We probably don't say that every day. But I hope, you know, things go well for you. And we think of it as kind of like this nice, I hope, an intention. But blessing, in fact, has its roots in a more powerful idea. And that is that our words have the power to actually call forth a new reality. They have the power to change things that are happening. It's kind of a crazy idea and a crazy thought. But of course, as Christians, we believe that they do because the Holy Spirit dwells in us, gives us breath, empowers us to speak those words. And when we speak words that are life-giving or full of truth, then we participate in what the Holy Spirit is already at work doing in our world. And so our words take on this power. Another way to think of blessing is kind of like a horizontal prayer. I know that sounds kind of funny. So often we visualize prayer as from us going up to God. It's not a perfect picture, but that's often how we think of it. Blessing is spoken to another person, another human. And it's not that we're praying to that other person. So I might say, Jacob, may you have an awesome day today. I'm not praying to Jacob. I'm calling forth God's power, but I'm speaking it directly to Jacob. So it's horizontal. Does that make sense? Instead of like going up and down. Humans have always had blessings. And I haven't done the exhaustive research on this, so this is, but I'm just going to go out on a limb and say I'm pretty sure every culture has some form of blessing. And I believe that's because God has made us in his image. We are made in the image of a blessing God. And I love the words that Ross shared this morning. We're so right on, Holy Spirit. Our God is a blessing, good creator God. And we are made in his image. All humans are made in his image. And so it is natural for us to bless, to speak words of life and truth that change the atmosphere, that actually change things around us. So today we're going to look at how does blessing work? And we're doing that by looking at Psalm 20. So if you have your Bible or your device, flip over to Psalm 20 and we're going to read it together. This is Psalm 20. A pre-battle blessing. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. And may we shout for victory, or shout for joy over your victory, and lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now this I know. The Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Lord, give victory to the king. Answer us when we call. That's Psalm 20. The foundation, well, I'm going to tell you a story first before I jump into the foundation of what blessing is. So I grew up with siblings, and I shared a bedroom for many years with my sister Lisa, who is only 18 months younger than me. And I think I started it. Okay, I started it. I know this is being recorded, so for all history, I started it. I had a brilliant idea one night, just as she was falling asleep, just letting go into peaceful sleep, I snuck out of bed and I scared her. And it was the best scare ever because, of course, she was just letting go, like totally just in that zone of release. And she was so scared and it was brilliant. And I laughed. She was pretty mad, of course, but it was so worth it. I was not perfect. I was not a perfect child, but it was fantastic. Anyways, the next night, I had forgotten about this, and I was falling asleep, just drifting into Never Never Land, and blah, she scared me. She crept up, and she scared me even worse than I scared her. So, of course, this set off a chain of events, and eventually it got to a point where we could not fall asleep at night, because you didn't want to let go. So we would lie, our beds were parallel to each other, we would lie and, like, do a staring contest, like, just dare, like, I'm not going to fall asleep until you do. And this was not good, we realized, for either of us after a while. It was getting out of hand. So we came up with a solution. And the solution was that we would say a vow to each other at exactly the same time. And then we were bound by sisterly honor to keep it. It was kind of like a nuclear war. Like, if you broke that, you were going to get obliterated too. So we didn't. And it worked. So what we did was we would look each other in the eye after the lights were out, and we'd go 1, 2, 3. And at the same time, we'd say, I promise not to scare you if you promise not to scare me. And that bound us by honor to not scare the other one. And it worked. And we had to say that every night for a long, long time, like for years. Oh, man. It was our nighttime ritual. Anyways, sometimes I think we think of blessing in this way. We think of blessing as something that we have to say to kind of get God in a bind, or to kind of say, God, this is who you say you are, so we're gonna claim it, and now you have to act that way. Or I'm just going to cover all my bases, and I'm just going to say this blessing so that I'm good to go. But blessing is not a tool that we can use to control God, because the power and the oomph of blessing is actually found in this idea that God is already trustworthy, that he's on our side, that God is for us, that he's fighting our battles on our side. So I think the engine, the powerhouse of this psalm is found in verses 6 through 8. Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed, to his chosen king in this context. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power, or the saving power is another way to translate that, of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. These were the symbols of power and warfare in the ancient Near East. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. The power of blessing comes from knowing that God is for us. And in order to become a blessing community and those who bless others, we have to know that. We have to know that our God is for us, and we have to know that we are loved. Before we've done anything good or brilliant or useful, just as our sort of dorky selves, he loves us. And so, in order to bless, we have to start here. And I think if we're honest, accepting that God is really truly for us and really truly loves us is something that all of us struggle with. And it is a lifelong learning thing. But if we are to become a people that bless And if we want our blessings to actually have oomph and power to change what's happening around us in our cultures, we have to make this our first pursuit, to know that God is on our side, that he's for us. So just a quick couple notes on that. That's not something we can do on our own. We have to find people. So find, many of you already have a small group or a close spiritual friend. Find one. Bring them into your life and commit to regularly pursuing this idea that you are loved and that God is for us together. We need to be open to the Spirit. We can know the Word of God inside out, but if we aren't open to mystery, to something happening that's a little bit beyond our understanding, I don't believe we can know that love of God that comes straight into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And we also need the Word of God, because you can, on the flip side, be super open to the Holy Spirit downloading his love into you. But if we don't know the Word of God inside out, we'll have no reference point. We need that rock to stand on as well. So let's make this our first pursuit. If King's Community Church is to be a church that impacts our culture, a church that speaks words of blessing and life to those around us, we first need to pursue the love of God, to know that it is, that our God is for us and that he is on our side. Take a moment to quickly just turn to a partner. So you might have to scooch over a few seats if you're not sitting directly, or just go to someone behind you and just share with them what you wrote to question number one on your sheet. Because one of the ways that we learn that God loves us and is on our side is by sharing stories of God's faithfulness. So just take 30 seconds and share that story. Okay, I'm going to interrupt you here. And I know that some of those stories are not done, which is a wonderful thing, actually, because there are lots of stories of God's faithfulness. So I encourage you to continue that over coffee after the service. But this is the kind of thing we need to do. We need to be reminded God is on our side and he fights for us. And part of that is by telling each other the stories, which sometimes is so simple we just forget to do. So make sure that you have those people in your life that you can tell and that can remind you of God's action and his love in your life. That's a powerhouse of blessing. That's where all of the good, juicy oomph. I don't know. I keep saying oomph. This is the word that I have for it today. That's where it comes from. So what is the power of blessing? Iris, I'll get you to go to the next slide. One of the powerful things about blessing, and we only have time to touch on, of course, a few today, but one is that, can we go to the next one? I'll speak it out just as we get there with the slide. One is that blessing has the power to destroy the lie that we are alone in the battle that we are facing. In its original context, as I mentioned before, this psalm, Psalm 20, was used as this pre-battle psalm. So you can picture a bunch of rowdy guys like we saw getting together and singing this song, and I'm sure it wouldn't have been like a nice hymn. It would have been a bit rowdy, kind of hyping each other up for battle. God is on our side. He is a victorious God. He has this powerful right arm, and he's fighting for us and with us. But part of that army was the king, and the king had a unique role. The king of Israel was supposed to go out first into the battle. He was the leader, and he was the representative, the people, to God. And if you've ever been in a position of leadership before, you know that that can be a lonely place to be as the leader. And if you've ever faced a battle, which I think is all of us, of any kind, you know that facing battles is also a lonely thing. And this song was sung to remind the king that he was actually not alone in this battle, that his victory was the people's victory, and his suffering would be the people's suffering. They were in it together. Their fate was tied up. And so the people cry together, "May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of God." And as they sing that, they're reminding the king, we're in this together. And they stand in his place, identifying with him. And they also remind him at the end, in the very last verse, that they, even the king is under another king, the one true king of Israel, Yahweh. And they're in it together. The power of blessing is that it destroys the lie that we are alone in our battle. Now, here's a really cool tidbit that I found that I think is especially cool on Father's Day. So Israel originally used this psalm as this pre-battle psalm. But as Israel went on through the years as a nation, they didn't always go out to battle with a king anymore. And so the psalm, the cool thing about the psalms is that we can use them, we can keep using them in different contexts. And one of the ways this psalm began to be used by in the Jewish tradition is for women in labor, for moms about to give birth. And they actually encouraged the dads, the soon-to-be dads, to recite this psalm as a blessing over her while she was in labor 12 times. And they said, and the rabbis taught, they said, there are 9 verses in this psalm which correspond to the 9 months that a woman is pregnant. So as you recite this, okay, it's not actually experiencing the 9 months of pregnancy, but it's going through it. It's in some way putting yourself in her shoes and trying to walk through that experience with her. And there are 75 words, and each word makes a different sound in this. And your wife is going through labor, and she's making all sorts of different sounds as she experiences the pains of labor. And so you saying this over and over again, you are in some ways trying to stand in her shoes. And of course, you aren't actually experiencing it, but you are identifying with it in some way as you pray a blessing over your wife. When we bless, we don't just speak words at someone. And I'm sure many of us have experienced those kind of arm's length blessings that are kind of cold. Bless your heart. But we actually stand next to someone. We stand in their place with them. And of course, Jesus is the embodiment of this for us. God himself didn't just bless us from heaven. He came down. He came amongst us. He stood with us and was the agent of blessing by being with us here. So how do we do this if we want to bless those around us? Well, we can't do it from arm's length. If we want to truly bless with power, bring life and flourishing, then we need to begin with listening to people, believing their stories, and standing somehow with them in whatever battle they're facing, even for a moment. It's hard to do that. It's really hard, especially if, you know, you've been praying to be a blessing to that annoying coworker. You can't do it from an arm's length. What is the battle that they're facing? What is it that's isolating them? And finally, what words do we use to let people know that they're not alone? And I put "what words" on the handout, and that was the question number 2 that you answered, because I'm focusing on speaking blessing today. But the truth is that blessing also comes through our actions. And so if you want to add to that, maybe sometimes there are some powerful nonverbal ways that we can let people know that they are not alone. So I want you just to turn to your partner again and share what you wrote for question 2. What are some of the words we use on a regular basis just to let people know they're not alone? These are blessing words. So let's share them with each other. I want to talk about really quickly another aspect of blessing that we find in Psalm 20. And that is, and it's a wild one to me, hard to wrap my head around. And Iris, I think you can go to the next slide on this one. And that is that one of the powers of blessing is that it calls a piece of the future into the present. And I don't mean like you bless to have a spaceship for a car instead of a car, although that would be awesome. But it's kind of, in some ways, that crazy. You see, as Christians, we have this future hope that's wild. We believe that God is going to reign as king over all peoples, and that every tribe and nation and tongue will gather together in peace, in harmony. There will be healing that stretches not only for people, but over creation as well. And that God will unite us in this incredible family as our true good leader. And when we speak a blessing over someone, these words, we actually invoke or call forth a piece of that future hope into the right now present. It's really, really wild. So when Jesus was on earth and he was doing miracles and healing people, this is what he was doing. He was saying, because Israel knew this future hope, he was saying this hope for healing, this hope for the blind being able to see, the lame being able to walk, for peace and unity, I'm going to show you a glimpse of it in the right now. Another example from our life as a church would be something that Nigel is often telling us. When we go to the prayer corner, if you have ever received prayer for healing from our prayer volunteers, you may have heard them pray for you in sort of a blessing way. So instead of saying, God, I pray that you would heal this person's shoulder, they might have put their hand on your shoulder and say, shoulder, in the name of Jesus, be healed. That's a kind of blessing. And it's a calling forth of the future hope that we have where we will all be healed as a sign into the present that is breaking in to our now. And this was not just a New Testament idea. There is in this psalm that same idea. It says in verse number 2, may he send you help from the sanctuary, from the place where God dwelled on earth, and grant you support from Zion. And Zion was this future city where God would rule as king. And it was an on-earth city where God was going to rule, and it was part of this future hope that Israel had. And so here in this blessing, there's this sense of calling part of that future hope, calling help from that future into the now and into the present. And as Christians filled with the Spirit, so that we can imitate Christ, we are given that same ability to ask in blessing form for a glimpse of the future into the present as a sign. Question number 3 on your form, I didn't have you fill it out because we don't have time this morning, but if you want to, maybe practice a blessing. Who in your life needs hope or a glimpse of hope? And how can you call for that hope from from our future hope to come into the present? And blessing is not silver lining. It's not someone sharing their suffering with you and saying, but don't worry, it will all be better one day. It's acknowledging it, standing with people in it, but then saying, wow, well, let's call for some of that future hope we have to come now. Because Jesus did that and it's breaking in. And I don't have answers for why that doesn't always happen. But I think if there's the slightest chance that it can, then as Christians, we ought to bless more. We ought to call for that more. That God would bring his kingdom here on earth just as it is in heaven, just as Jesus taught us how to pray. We're gonna do something now that's sort of a blessing for one another. We want to be here at King's Community Church a blessing community, a community that actually impacts our culture and the neighborhoods and the city that we're in. And that begins with us here, being a community that knows how to bless one another. And the truth is that through our actions every day, almost all of us are involved in serving in this community and blessing one another. And so we are going to take a moment just to notice and name that. So you are probably sitting on or have put some leaves close to you. I want you to grab them. And we have this beautiful vine on this board, which I got from the teacher supply shop, which was very fun. And I thought it fits. I am the vine, you are the what? Branches? Well, we'll go with leaves today. We are the leaves, and we make up a vine, and we want to be here at King's a healthy, strong vine, rooted in the love of Christ, so that when we speak, we have the power to bless, and healthy, noticing one another. So I'm going to invite you in just a moment to think of someone in this community who you have seen serving in some way. It could be one of the obvious ways. Maybe it's an upfront way, or maybe it's a behind-the-scenes way, someone who's just good at encouraging, or, you know, who just is always the first to start stacking the chairs. And I want you just to write their name, and then you can just write under their name what it is that you've seen. You know, so Dave for leading worship, something like that. Just short and sweet. So I want you to think of it first. Once you have thought of the name and what you want to write, then come on up, grab a Sharpie. We have a handful of them here. Write it out, and then grab a glue stick, put a little dab of glue stick on, and stick it somewhere on the vine. And we're just all going to do this. So think of that name. I'll invite Darcy just to play some music, and come on up and write that name and what you've seen them doing. Ravine looks awesome. Thanks for participating in that, guys. And please take a moment after the service to go up and read them. You might find your name on there. And just take it as a blessing from one to another. I want to take a moment now to bless you as a church, us. I'll put myself in there as King's Community Church. And as I do this, I'll call up the worship team to lead us in our last song. And I've taken Psalm 20 and I've tweaked it quite a bit, paraphrased quite a bit for us here. But I've used Psalm 20 as a model as I was going through. And if you ever want to write out a prayer of blessing or a blessing, that's a great way to do it, is to take a psalm and to use that as kind of your springboard. I also want to do another shout out, a resource shout out that I should have grabbed before. For those of you who love reading beautiful writing, I recommend John O'Donohue to Bless the Space Between Us. It is a delicious book full of blessings for now, for today, but beautifully steeped in Scripture and the Holy Spirit. So if you want, you can take a look at that afterwards. But now, a blessing for you, for us, King's Community Church. May Jesus Christ come to you as you face challenges. May the name of the God of the Apostle Paul and of the church planter Lydia protect you. May he send you help that is timely and relevant, and at the same time gives you a glimpse of the glorious future to come. May he welcome you with grace and forgiveness. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. I didn't have to change that line. May we celebrate our victories together with coffee and stories and laughter that makes our sides hurt. And send up fireworks in the name of our fun and awesome God. May God grant all of your requests. Now this I know. The Lord is on your side, fighting alongside you, and all of his divine power and resources are at your fingertips, ready the moment you ask. Some trust in money, some trust in power, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Money and prestige will always let down. But those dependent on God will always be okay. We will stand on solid ground. We will be lifted up. Lord, may this community overcome anything that seeks to divide them. And may they become a community of blessing. When King's Community Church blesses, may they see the community, may we see the community around us transform. And true King, may you hear this blessing and respond. Amen.